Nobody could quite settle. Antoine Roussel cleaned up the garbage but could not clear. Out to the right point, and a shot. Score! Traffic in front. Nick Holden threw it toward the goal. Vegas takes a 1-0 lead. Taken off the boards by Carlson. Protects it. Centers for Smith. Back in front. Score! Jonathan Marchessault back and forth and back to the left. Marchessault makes it 3-1 Golden Knights. Theodore plays out. Patch ready to the right for Stone. He's got a lane. Stone shoots. He scores! Mark Stone, 4-1 Golden Knights. It's Stone, fires. Pacioretty, left circle, he's in. Backhander, he scores! Backhand goal. Replay of the overtime winner from Dallas. Stastny back up high. Theodore to the right. One-timer, save. Rebound, score! Zinkov on the doorstep. Backhands it through. Knights take a 2-1 lead. That's a power play goal.
From Russia with love.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio Las Vegas. Frank Hernish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman all in the studio. Got a full show for you today. Some giveaways for the Arizona game coming up. Arizona making some big news today in the NHL as well. Disney on Ice 4-pack. But let's get right to our first guest because this gentleman, you know him very well. The whole city loves him. And he was gracious enough to make a little bit of time to join us at the top of the show. Coach Gerard Gallant and Turk, before we get to any of the hockey stuff and all that stuff, just want to say happy holidays to you. Hope you're doing well.
Oh, thank you. The same to you.
All right, Gerard. So I guess the big thing that we're going to get into first is the team right now, 7-2-1 in their last 10 games. Do you feel like it's kind of that point in the year where you guys are turning a corner and maybe things are going in the right direction more so than they were, say, 3-4 weeks ago?
Yeah, definitely. The last 2 or 3 weeks, we played real good hockey, and there was a time there a little while ago I thought we were playing good hockey and still losing. So we got through that, playing good hockey right now, and like I said, we got a couple injuries to deal with, but overall the guys are working hard every night and giving us a chance to win, and I really like the way we played the last number of games.
Has anything changed, or just is it just maybe things clicking for different players at different times?
Nah, I don't think a whole lot's changed. I just think The stuff is going in the net now. I mean, Pacioretty, you know, he had some real tough luck the first month of the season. He had about 7 or 8 goal posts. Now they're going in the net, and he's got confidence. He's shooting the puck. He scored a couple beautiful breakaway goals on the Deke. So, you know, guys are getting a little bit of confidence, and the right guys are scoring some goals lately. So I think right now things are rolling pretty good for us, and we'd like to keep that going.
And you mentioned the puck starting to go in for Pacioretty. We're going to hear from him in a little bit on the show as well, as I had a chance to talk to him today. But one slight change that there has been is the addition of Chandler Stevenson, and you have to be happy with him. Looks like a really good player, kills penalties, plays well 5-on-5, and maybe a little bit faster than some people thought, but maybe you and Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee knew how fast he was.
Well, I mean, yeah, we obviously scouted our guys, and our management team looks at guys when they're making trades, and he's a guy that he stepped into our lineup and played real well for us. We knew he had good speed. He's a little bit, I think he's pretty patient with the puck for a guy that hasn't played in the top two lines most of his career. I mean, he's mostly been a third or fourth line guy. So he's shown a lot of confidence. He's still a young player. He's only 25 years of age. So we like what we've got, and he's done a real good job for us so far.
How nice is it to have Chandler Stevenson available to jump in and kind of assume that role with Pacioretty and Stone, allowing you that extra bit of depth to bring Paul Stastny down to that line with Zikov and Tuck and give you more balance?
Well, right now it looks like the way all four lines are playing right now, but I mean, like you said, we moved Stastny with the other guys, and he's played really well. That line's been really good for us, and, putting Stevenson up there with Pacioretty and Stone, that line's played very well for us. So we're happy with the move so far. I mean, we don't know where it's going to end up, but he can play in different positions and different lines. So far it's gone real well, and no reason to change it right now.
When you're looking at making changes or adjustments to lines, and you do make a change or an adjustment, how long do you like to give it typically before you realize it's either not going to work or not going to work as well as you want it to, or it's going to work and you're not going to change it?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know what, in our business with injuries and suspensions and everything else, you can't say, I'm going to stick with this line as long as I want to. I mean, sure, the Carlson line's been together for the most part of 2.5 years, but, you know, that's fortunate because those guys played well together, and, you know, they're a good mix. And when we did mix up the lines a little bit, but it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, I'd like to roll out four lines every day and be the same lines, and they're all playing well. That's in a perfect world, but that doesn't happen very often in the NHL with injuries and everything else.
Well, and you mentioned injuries in that, too, and you mentioned the Carlson line. Last night, game 200, 200th regular season game for the Golden Knights. William Carlson, the only player that's played all 200 games for Vegas, certainly has been one of the bright spots, and another one of those bright spots on that line, along with Riley Smith. What's it like when you see somebody like Jonathan Marchessault last night get a career milestone-type thing with his 100th goal?
Yeah, it's great. I didn't know that till after the game, so it was great to see that. Marchie's a competitive guy. You know, to score a real nice goal like that and to get his 100th goal, that's a big thing in the NHL, getting 100 goals. So he's still a young player, and he's still going to get a lot more goals for us, but it's definitely a good milestone for him.
When you look at kind of how the year started and some of the stretches that you've had, Malcolm Subban had a tough start to the year just in terms of not being able to put a W in the win column. But ever since he got that first win, he seems to be on a bit of a roll. How much freedom does that allow you in terms of how you rotate through your goaltenders now?
Yeah, no, it's been great. I mean, Malcolm had that opportunity to win the net and play, I don't know, whether it's five, six, or seven games in a row. And when you get in a role like that and you feel good about yourself and play the way Malcolm played in that stretch, it definitely helps his confidence, and it helps the confidence in our hockey team. I mean, you're not going to go 82 games and rely on Marc-Andre Fleury the whole time. You got to have two good, solid goaltenders and a chance to win every night, and that's what we got.
You know, Gerard, there's been enough time, I think, now removed from that game in Nashville where you guys tie the game up late, you win it in overtime, and then you go on a bit of a roll. Do you feel like that game served as a bit of a turning point in the season that maybe you hoped that it would be in that moment?
I definitely do, for sure. There's no doubt that game was huge for us. You know, we played a good hockey game that night, and then all of a sudden we're going to come away with no points, and then with 0.3 seconds left the clock, we tie it up, and then we win the game. So anytime you get an opportunity like that, our team was really excited after the game. It was, you know, all the guys were excited. They were pumped up, and I think that's definitely been a big positive for us moving forward.
Coach Gerard Gallant joining us here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio Las Vegas, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Coach, one of the changes that you did make recently, a little tweak on the defense, and it seems like the defense has come up and they're playing a lot better, playing better defensively, and also it seems to be getting a little bit more offense from the blue line as well. What predicated that change, and can you explain it maybe in like kind of simple terms for some of the people out there exactly what it is that you did to make it? Because one guy that really seems to be thriving in the new system a little bit is Derek Englund.
You know what? It wasn't a big deal. I mean, we used to be a type of man-to-man defensive zone system, and now we just tweaked it a little bit. And now, you know, we're doing a lot like a lot of teams do. Instead of chasing all over the D zone, we're sort of being more patient. And it's paid off for us. But it's not just Derek Englund. It's definitely helped all our defensemen. And, you know, when you might be in your zone a little bit longer, but when you do get the puck, it's better for our breakouts and our access from the zone. So far it's worked fine. But, you know, over you know, it's probably 10 or 12 games since we've done that. And, you know, the scoring chances have gone down a little bit, but it's not a big difference, to be totally honest with you. And then, like I said, the guy's playing it well, and we're doing a good job. So we'll see where it goes.
You know, Turk, every player that I've talked to considers you a player's coach. And in today's NHL, kind of with everything going on surrounding some other coaches in the league, how important is it to have that open type of communication between you and your players and just trying to develop those relationships and get them to a point where they really go out there and put everything on the line because they want to play that way for you?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, that's life the way it is now in life. It's not just in hockey and coaching. I mean, you have to treat people fairly. It's a lot different than it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago when I was a player. So, you know what, you come to the rink every day, and I said this a number of times, I come to the rink every morning and have a smile on my face. I love my job, love our players, love our staff. We have a lot of fun. And so you come there, and you're part of it. I'm part of the hockey team. I'm part of trying to win hockey games with our group, and I don't feel like I'm a coach against our players. I feel like, you know what, I'm part of this group, and let's have fun, and let's go to work, and we win together and we lose together.
Coach, we truly appreciate the time here. Real quick, just want to ask you about Minnesota tomorrow. Some teams, it seems like you have their number a little bit, like Vancouver last night. So far, you've had a lot of success against them. Minnesota, you've struggled with a bit. What is it about Minnesota that makes them a tough team to play?
I wish I knew. I mean, we've had a real tough time against that team from day one. I think we beat them only once, and they're a good team. They play hard, they battle hard, and hopefully we change that tomorrow night, because they definitely had our number so far since we've only played them for 2 years. It's the first game in this season, so it's been a battle with them. And like I said, I think we'll be ready for that game tomorrow night, ready to go, and hopefully get two big points.
All right, Coach. Well, thanks a lot. We truly do appreciate the time. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow night against Minnesota at T-Mobile Arena. And once again, happy holidays. Hope you and the family, everybody's doing well.
Will do. Thank you very much, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot. Coach Gerard Gallant there. Class guy all around. And I know that you brought it up there. And Jesse Granger, our good friend with The Athletic, he wrote a really good article on it recently in that, too. There is that thing. It seems like some coaches want to test their players and go against them and feel like it's us and then it's you and they separate them or something like that. And it's Turk isn't that way. He was a player. He feels like he's one of the players. And especially in this era, it seems like that's really the way to go. Maybe it should have always been the way to go.
Well, it's funny because one of the guys that you talked to today is Max Pacioretty. And what was one of the first things that Pacioretty said at his introductory press conference when he was traded here from the Montreal Canadiens? I'm excited to go play for Turk because he lets you just take your brain out and play hockey. And it seemed like such an interesting quote at the time. And I think over the course of the last year and a half, it's been illuminated quite a bit because of what's come down in the last little stretch with NHL coaches and how a lot of times it would appear mind games are constantly being played between coach and player. Power struggle, internal, external, all of those things are on full display. And you've got a player coming to a new franchise in a new setting, and he's most excited about not having to do anything but just go out and play hockey. And I think that speaks volumes, right? Like, it speaks volumes to how certain teams, some teams, some coaches have to have more on the table than just simply, here's your job, here's what I need you to do, just go out and do it. And that's all you've got to focus on. That's all you've got to worry about. Again, I think that Gerard Gallant is one of those coaches that just you what you see is what you get. The way that he interacts with us in the media is the same, I would assume, as how he interacts with his players. And it's always been fun. It's always been light. It's always been jovial at times. There have been some times where it's been a little bit tense, but on the whole, it's always been pleasant and it's always been respectful. And I think that's the big key takeaway with Gerard Gallant and how he treats his players.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and I think that's one of the reasons that the players love him so much, but they also perform for him, because you want to go out there and you want to perform with somebody who considers you their equal and almost like a teammate, not a coach or like, I'm the authority figure and you need to do what I say or whatever. Yeah, he's the coach and they have to do what they say when they practice and do other things like that, but it is a collaboration and it's a partnership, and I think that's very important.
Absolutely.
All right, you mentioned Max Pacioretty. Had a chance to speak with him today. By the way, congratulations to Max. NHL number one star of the week, according to NHL Network and NHL.com. So Max Pacioretty, I figured after a four-point game, goals in four straight, and then, of course, the fact, like I just mentioned, the number one star of the week, what better day to talk to him? So I'll open it up, and I asked Max about what it meant to him to be the number one star. Does it mean that much to him personally?
Yeah, I mean, personally, doesn't mean too much to me. I think it says more about our team and the way we're playing right now. My line's been playing really well. I've been fortunate enough to play with those guys and create a lot of opportunities. And, you know, obviously we've made a little bit of adjustment to our game. We're trying to find our rhythm, and we've gotten it. I think we've gotten into a little bit of a rhythm. I think games that we have lost, we've shown some flashes of some really good hockey. So, yeah, it's important for us as a group to build off, you know, these couple wins, and individuals feeling confident about their game has really added to that.
When you get into a rhythm like you're in right now, do you think about anything you're doing, or you just kind of ride it out and keep it going?
No, I just play hockey. I mean, I've had stretches throughout my career and even this season where I feel like I've played, you know, some of my best hockey, and I have no points to show for it, so numbers are just numbers. I think at the end of the day, eventually the math always seems to add up and seems to come in waves, and just kind of one of those waves, and you know, never as good as they say you are, never as bad as they say you are, so try and stay even keel and just worry about the next game.
You mentioned your line. What has Chandler Stephenson's addition to this team meant to the team on your line and just in general, because he kills penalties, he does a lot of stuff, and it seems like he's a lot faster than people realized he was?
Well, yeah, he's a Swiss Army knife, and I think you mentioned his speed. His speed is what allows him to play up and down the lineup. I think he can keep up with any line, and he can drive the play. when he plays lower down in the lineup because of that speed that you had mentioned. One thing that you don't want to take away credit from his shot. He's got a tremendous shot. Trying to get him to use it a little bit more rather than always looking for us. His shot's a weapon, and you know, when you skate down the ice that fast and you got a good shot, I think it backs off teams and, you know, opens up a lot of plays.
It seems like everybody's always talking about the depth of the team with all four lines scoring, and that's important. But how important is it? You guys seem to get more contributions lately from the blue liners. Nate Schmidt's been hot of late, Theodore with three assists last night, and Holden with a goal last night.
That's our whole game. You know, not to put everything on them, but, you know, we see the difference when our forwards are coming back quick enough to allow them to step up and then go the other way. It's really important. You know, now in today's game, I think the D-men have to skate even more, you know, than the forwards when they're playing the right way. They have to be able to short the zone. They have to be able to join the rush and then come back defensively as well. So we really want our D to skate a lot. And, you know, while it's tiring, I think it's paid off a lot in our game. And a lot of them have gotten rewarded, like you said.
You know, we're in a world of social media now, and everybody's talking about, oh, the Golden Knights now in second place, you know. You passed a couple teams last night. Do you guys even look at the standings this early in the season? I mean, it's a great thing to say, but 36 games into the season, there's still an awful lot of hockey.
Yeah, there's a ton of hockey. It's just a log jam, it seems, every year right there in the middle of the division and the conference. That being said, yeah, you look at it, just kind of see where you're at and know, you know, what teams are where. We know that Vancouver was a very important game. We know Minnesota as well, and then going back to play two more division games. So, this is a little bit of a stretch in the season where really important points in terms of who we're playing against. And while it's only, you know, like you said, 36 games into the year, we still feel that, you know, every point is valuable, especially with a little bit of a hole that we dug ourselves into. So it's nice knowing where you stand, but, big picture is just worry about one game at a time.
Minnesota tomorrow night. Minnesota's kind of been an up-and-down team this season. What do the Wild have? It seems like when they play good, they can be really good. And, of course, Dubnyk, when he's hot, is as good as any goalie in the league.
Well, yeah, you mentioned it. Their goaltending's fantastic. They have a really steady balance of different types of players that allows them to play, you know, a real good team game, probably one of the best all-around defensemen in the league, and then a couple of really good offensive guys as well. On the back end, they're always big through the middle. Koivu's been there forever. Stahl's been a really big help to them. So being big in the middle, being good on draws, and then having defensemen like they do and a goalie makes it hard to play against. So got to try and limit their chances by making them play in their end, which is definitely a hard task, but that's the only way we'll have success against them.
And real quick, are you ready for the holidays, or do you just concentrate on hockey and let other people take care of that?
I let other people take care of it, but enjoy it while it's here. I got my family, my wife's family, everyone's coming, so we're going to be like the Griswolds over at our house, looking for a really fun Christmas, and then back to work.
Well, good luck in the next couple games before the holiday, and certainly enjoy that 3-day break.
Yeah, thanks, you too.
Max Pacioretty there, really nice guy, always makes time, thinks out his answers and everything, arguably as hot as anybody in the NHL right now. Look at number one star if you're not.
He's the number one star, and he won that, or was awarded that recognition over Anthony Duclair, who had, I believe, a hat trick against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Is that correct?
I believe it was against the Columbus Blue Jackets,
which
yes.
Is just hysterical because John if you needed more proof that John Tortorella is not a great coach, like, it's that.
I don't like the way he does business. I don't like him.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, the best part about the Duclair hat trick was the third and final goal was an overtime winner.
Oh, well, of course. Turns out Anthony Duclair is, physically able, mentally able to play hockey.
So what you're saying is he's not stupid.
Well, John Tortorella thought so.
Well, isn't John Tortorella the same person that wondered why William Karlsson couldn't score there, although he had him buried on a fourth line?
It's a stretch, man. It's a stretch.
All right, so let's quick recap. Vegas in their last two games, because they played Friday and Sunday, two victories.
Yep.
Hit the victory against Dallas and Vancouver.
The story of the game in Dallas, Malcolm Subban was really, really good in the first period and allowed the Golden Knights to get to their game. And then the Golden Knights played a stellar 42-ish minutes to round that one out. The story last night was that the Golden Knights were just better everywhere than the Vancouver Canucks. They were better in all three zones. They were leaps and bounds better than Vancouver in the second period. And I think that, you know, that second period took away the will of the Vancouver Canucks. And while they had a little bit of a pushback in the third period, I thought the Golden Knights handled that adversity about as well as they possibly could have. And while it was a 6-3 win and the game was never really in doubt, you did get a couple of big saves from Marc-Andre Fleury. But those are, to me, Malcolm Subban kept him in it early, and then the Golden Knights rolled from there, and then it was just a dominant team performance against Vancouver.
Yeah, and I also thought that Markstrom, who did play both games in the back-to-backs, he's played the last, I think that was his fifth straight start, because their backup goaltender right now is going through concussion protocol. He looked like a tired goaltender.
Yeah, he didn't look too sharp. And, you know, it's unfortunate, it's tough, because he's had a pretty good year in totality. It's just, you know, when you're not used to playing that much, or you're not used to playing that many games in a row, it can be difficult, it can be a grind. And, you know, it was a kind of a perfect storm, right? Because the Golden Knights come back home where, you know, their last home game, they put up a bunch of goals. They put up a bunch of goals again. It's just a perfect storm of bad situations written all over the Vancouver Canucks.
Okay, so Max Pacioretty was the number one star of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Was he the night of the week?
You know what? This is unfair. And I'm just going to say it right now. This is unfair because we did that based on the week prior, not based on what happened over the weekend where Max Pacioretty made it clear that he was the night of the week. I still think it's Will Carrier. It should be Will Carrier. You guys are all wrong if you go anybody else other than Will Carrier. That's all I'm saying. I'm right. Everyone else is wrong, even if it's not proven to be true.
Well, since you're going to try to make the next segment miserable for me.
No.
I would just like to throw in
miserable.
That's while ridiculous. We were at Parkway Tavern at 215 in Flamingo,
uh-huh,
when Max Pacioretty got that game winner against Dallas.
Yeah, I know what I said.
You said, yeah, maybe Max was the player of the week, the night of the week. See, now you got to ruin it with this stupid hug time when I'm trying to make a point about Ryan. Your timing was horrible, Chapman.
Yeah,
you were definitely
great.
Not
it
the insider
great.
Of the week.
You're fired. Well, you're fired from drops.
That was terrible.
When you said we terrible. Were at Parkway Tavern, I just assumed that someone attempted to come
See?
Up and give you a hug.
What happens when you assume? What happens when you assume?
Well, I did. Well, hold on. I did have an interesting conversation with Bruce yesterday.
Oh yeah,
about hugs and Frank.
Bruce Cusick,
oh, yeah.
Our friend,
yeah,
PA Bruce,
our buddy, PA Bruce,
who cut that for us.
Yeah, of course,
my used to be buddy.
Okay, hold on. let's get into let's get into night of the week. Who did the fans vote for night of the week? I know I lost this one and it sucks, but I know what I said. I'll live up to it.
Yeah,
Max Pacioretty probably deserved it based on over the course of this weekend, but I had no idea. I had no way of knowing that Will Carrier got robbed. That's all I'm saying.
Well, the fans don't feel like Will Carrier got robbed because 57% of them voted for Max Pacioretty.
Yeah.
Well, 57%, that still shows a lot of love for Will Carrier.
No. If Carrier only got 25% of the vote. Pacioretty got 57%.
Yeah.
Fleury, 18%.
Okay. Still, I mean, 25%.
I think
that's not bad.
I presented a good case for Will Carrier.
You did. But you were wrong.
No, I wasn't wrong.
And I even gave you props.
At the time, I was not wrong.
Yeah.
At the time, I was not wrong. No, not at all.
All right. So Max Pacioretty, Knight of the Week, and NHL Player of the Week. Congratulations,
First star
Max.
Of the week, Max Pacioretty. MVP of the Golden Knights season, Max Pacioretty.
All right. Well, we have some tickets to give away for the Arizona game and also a 4-pack of tickets for Disney on Ice.
Hmm.
Which one of those would you like to do first? I know we're going to be talking about an addition coming to Arizona in the next segment.
So here's the deal. I'm going to give away the Arizona tickets when I give away the number of the newly acquired Arizona player, and that's not going to happen until next segment. So we're going to do Disney on Ice right now.
Right.
Disney on Ice tickets. You already know what the number is, right?
28 for Will Carrier, your night of the week.
No.
25 for the percentage of votes he got?
No. You would think that I would be that guy, and I'm not going to be that guy.
Uh-oh.
I can understand when the fans bring to my attention that maybe they're right and I'm wrong. I could understand and admit that.
Are you taping this?
And it has nothing to do with the fact that the number is higher than 28.
Well, yeah. See,
there's 25.
There's an ulterior motive.
It has nothing to do with the fact that Chris Chapman's going to have to answer more phones. But we're going to go with caller number 67.
67 for Max Pacioretty, the night of the week. NHL number one star of the week.
Nothing to do with the fact that Chapman has to answer more phones.
Coincidence sometimes can be You know what? 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. Caller number 67. You got a four-pack of tickets for Disney on Ice. Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Frank Harness, Ryan the Hockey Guy.
Don't rush
Chris
it.
Chris Chapman.
Don't rush
it. In the studio. Congratulations to our winner.
Derek.
Derek is going to be checking out the Arizona game. That game is the 28th, and Arizona has a big new addition coming to the club, which we will be talking about momentarily. But before we get to that, we need to get to our play of the day and get this horrible music off the air.
No. It's fine.
The play of the day brought to you by Oyo Hotel and Casino, home of 24/7 $2 beers. And we have three plays that are interesting choices.
Right. So, and I'm going to go based on memory from the tweet that Chapman sent out, and I'm not sure exactly what the sequence is for the plays, but this is what I determined to be the three most important plays of the game. Number one was Valentin Zhukov's goal on the power play, because sometimes you need a big, strong presence in front of the net, and Valentin Zhukov was just that on his power play goal.
Thatcher already wins it. Stolen walks it out high, dishing it off for Stastny. And now Theodore around. Thatcher already a drive. Save Markstrom. Rebound score! Valentin Zhukov at the top of the crease on the backhand. His first of the season. And the Golden Knights.
So this was a good goal. I liked it. I thought that Zhukov's positioning at the top of the crease was good. He, you know, makes a play on the puck. It happened a bit quicker than I think that, you know, watching it in real time makes you think. He didn't have as much time and space as you initially thought. So I thought it was a good goal for Valentin Zhukov. What say you, Frank Harnish?
I thought it was a good goal. It's certainly important because it's his first goal of the season as well. So it's a big goal. And this is a guy who, let's be honest about it, is fighting to show why he belongs on this team, why he needs to stay on this team, because some guys are going to be coming back from injury. And, you know, there is a question right now. Does he have a place on this roster?
Yeah, I think that's a valid question for sure. Was this your play of the day?
It was not.
Okay. From Russia with love.
I thought
it was good. I thought it was a good goal. It wasn't my play of the day.
Stick tap to Chris Chapman for having From Russia with Love as our open with Gerard Gallant on the phone. Well done, buddy.
I just hope he wasn't like actually listening.
I don't know. He might have been jamming out. It's fine.
You know what? Matt Monro, great song, great singer.
Ask him tomorrow.
My favorite Bond movie.
Yeah, just ask him tomorrow.
Just ask him tomorrow and then try to explain away that you had to run another show and you did that long before you knew that Turk was going to be on with us.
That's very... I don't think he'll care.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I think you're wrong.
The second play... And I'm not sure if this is the correct one in terms of how you tweeted it out, but Jonathan Marchessault scored his 100th NHL goal.
And Canucks sent a first round of the other way to Tampa as part of it. Marchessault swings it in. Carlson racing after it. Pulls up again, two. Feeds it in the middle. Smith looking. Marchessault score! The 100th career goal for Jonathan Marchessault.
That was pretty.
It was a very, very nice goal. Tic-tac goal, as they say. If Chris would have been
who
in...
Who says that?
I've heard Duva and a couple other people say
that. Oh, okay. So. That's fine. Just asking. Asking for a friend. That's all. The pass from Carlson was fantastic. The pass from Smith was fantastic. The finish was great. Because I think we all just kind of assume that was a given, right? Like, you know, it was a wide open net. That wasn't really the case. Like, there wasn't a lot of room for Marchessault to put that puck, and he put it perfectly into the back of the net. It's a great way to get your 100th goal, career goal in the NHL. Was that your play of the day?
That was my play of the day. And when I voted on it, I know it was very low down in the standings. I don't know where it ended up because I voted last night shortly after the game.
Yep.
But to me, it's the play of the day. Not the goal of the day. It's not the save of the day. It's the entire play. For the entire play, with the fact, like you just mentioned, three players combining, moving in perfect harmony with each other, doing exactly what they need to do, that was my play of the day. And it's also a milestone goal.
Mine as well. It was the play of the day for me. I thought the pass from Carlson. First of all, I believe Marchessault brought the puck up the ice and found Carlson in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Carlson, it almost looked like he wasn't even looking. Found Riley Smith, who also looked like he wasn't looking when he passed it to Marchessault. And then Marchessault buried it. It reminded me a lot of the Misfits, year one.
It did feel like that. It was my play of the day as well. I know that we've got one other. It was Marc-Andre Fleury, a desperation save in the third period on Elias Pettersson that would have made the game 4-3. And that would have been, with about 12 minutes left in the game, that would have certainly been a little bit too close for comfort for the Golden Knights. None of us voted on that play.
It was a great save.
It was a great save, yeah, for sure. But Pettersson didn't really get a lot on that shot. Doesn't take away from the save, but it doesn't necessarily have the same luster to me as that play for Jonathan Marchessault's 100th career NHL goal. That was my play of the day. What say the fans?
Well, it was a very close vote this time. 36-29-35.
The wow. Winner? One percentage, hey?
Yeah, separated wow. The winner from Russia with Love, Valentin Zhykov, according to the fans.
That's the winner?
That is the winner for the play of the day.
Come
yes.
on.
He was in the lead when I made my
no.
vote.
Yes.
No
he
way.
It was a bigger margin than that when I actually voted at the time.
Yeah, 36-35.
That's fascinating. That is fascinating. Let's wrap it up. We've got really big stuff to talk about here.
Yes, play of the day brought to us by Oyo Hotel and Casino. Get 10 wings for $10 at Hooters Restaurant, and you can join us tomorrow down there. We'll be at Hooters Restaurant, the saloon right next to it. It's all one big place there. It's a great place, great food, great atmosphere. So Hooters inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino, and you can join us on game days like tomorrow when they're home at T-Mobile Arena for the 7 p.m. games. We'll be doing the show from 3 to 4 live. From Hooters.
Okay. What day were we at Parkway Tavern?
Friday.
Okay. So Friday night, the New Jersey Devils played the Colorado Avalanche. And Taylor Hall was a late scratch.
Yes.
It was reported that he was being held out for precautionary reasons. Then it was reported that Taylor Hall's gear bag was just chilling outside the locker room by itself. And then the Devils played again. Taylor Hall sat out again. And nothing really happened over the weekend until about, you know, an hour and a half ago. Taylor Hall is no longer a New Jersey Devil. Taylor Hall has been traded to the Arizona Coyotes. Hall and Yotes. So that was the hype video that the Arizona Coyotes tweeted out to announce Taylor Hall, right?
Yes.
The caption was Hall and Yotes, right?
Yep.
What the heck was that music? What was the music?
So that they didn't go for the cheesy,
They did, though. The caption for the tweet was Hall and Yotes. You don't make a Hall and Oats reference and then put just ridiculous bad music in the background. You put Hall and Oats. You put Dreams Come True. You put We Just Made a Big Time Move for a huge, huge acquisition, and then you play Hall and Oats in the same tweet that you put Hall and Yotes.
Could you say they were out of touch?
They were out of touch?
I say they were totally in touch. Kudos to them for not going the easy, cheesy route
and
putting Hall and Oates. They
Hall and Yotes!
They put it in the caption to build you up, and then they just ripped it away from you. Good job, Arizona.
No, they sucked their souls out is what they did.
Okay.
Well, great. If your soul is Hall and Oates, you already don't have one.
Totally unfair.
So I tweeted out that it's great. Like, I want the Coyotes marketing to really go over the top with this Hall and Yotes stuff. I even started hashtagging Hall and Yotes on all my tweets about Taylor Hall and the trade and everything. Because marketing is important, especially in Arizona, right? And the best part about this is when the Golden Knights play the Arizona Coyotes next, I think we're just going to have Hall and Oates playing in the background the entire show. Because it makes sense. But here's the actual trade. Let's get to the actual trade, because there's a lot of very interesting, very intriguing things going on with this trade. So here's the full trade. The Arizona Coyotes acquire Taylor Hall at 50%. Okay? So the New Jersey Devils are retaining 50% of Taylor Hall's salary. That's important.
It's so they get important.
Taylor Hall and forward Blake Spears. And here's what the Devils acquire. Defenseman Kevin Ball, forward Nick Merkley, forward Nate Schnarr, a 2020 conditional first-round pick, and a 2021 conditional third-round pick. Do you want to know what the conditions are on each one of those picks?
I would love to know that.
Okay, well, if there's one thing that we know about Taylor Hall throughout his career, it's that whatever team he seems to play on, they win the draft lottery. Right?
It has gone that way in the past, yes.
It has gone that way at an alarming rate. It's way too much to be a coincidence. Taylor Hall just gets number one overall picks for his teams. It just happens.
So if you're Arizona, you like that.
Well, you do, except you're trading your 2020 first-round pick to the New Jersey Devils. Although, the condition on that pick is unless it's a top-three pick. Meaning, if the Coyotes miss the playoffs and they win the draft lottery and they pick 1, 2, or 3, the Coyotes hang on to that first-round pick this year. And it'll slide to 2021, and it'll be unprotected. It'll be a 2021 first-round pick that goes to the Devils. So, kudos to John Chayka for saying, hey, we know how much, like, we know that Taylor Hall wins draft lotteries. We're just going to make sure that we have this little bit of protection in there. Here's the 2021 condition on the third-round pick.
Okay.
It becomes a second-round pick if Taylor Hall re-signs or the Coyotes win one playoff round.
Which do you think is more likely? Because Taylor Hall, it looks like he's going to at least test the free agent market, although his agent has said that he is willing to talk to Arizona about a possible extension.
I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
It becomes that 2021 third-round pick becomes a first-round pick if Taylor Hall re-signs and the Coyotes win one playoff round. So it could potentially be two first-round picks going back to New Jersey. What do I think is most likely? It'll be a third-round pick. Like, I applaud the Arizona Coyotes for going all in. I applaud the Coyotes for going at it and trying to get a rental that is, you know, not too far removed from an MVP season, a guy that traditionally can put the puck in the back of the net for a team that has goaltending, has strong defense, but just cannot finish. This makes a whole heck of a lot of sense. But I think at some point, if it's not going deep into the playoffs, what's it really for? Like, what are you really getting out of this trade if you're the Coyotes? If you think you have a legitimate shot at the Stanley Cup, go for it.
Do you think they have a legitimate shot at getting him to sign an extension?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because Taylor Hall was asked about that particular thing, about signing an extension. He talked about how some of the reports in the media aren't necessarily accurate and that he wants to test free agency, that he wants to get there, that he's been open the entire time to listening to offers and seeing where things go. I think right now, because this happens so far removed from the trade deadline, I think the Coyotes and Taylor Hall are going to take a couple of months to see where the fit is. They're going to see if Taylor Hall fits with this team, if this could be something that is good for everybody moving forward. And then I think that the Coyotes would be unwise not to try and convince Taylor Hall to stay.
Well, we know that Arizona's got some good young talent. We know they have really quality goaltending. The one thing that they do tend to lack is a big star that can put a lot of goals in for him.
Well, they brought in Phil Kessel to be that guy, and he hasn't been.
But that's what I'm saying. Right now, the way that it is still set up at this point anyhow, it's kind of like goal scoring by committee. They don't have that go-to guy.
But if Phil Kessel catches fire, and if Taylor Hall starts to play well and has a good fit in Arizona, and this team can start putting the puck in the back of the net, maybe an extra half a goal or an extra goal per game, they might be really good. They might be a team that can really do some damage if they get into the playoffs.
Well, and again, like you said, if they get an extra half a goal, if they got an extra goal a game with the goaltending they have, that could be a huge addition. They're already in first in the Pacific. I mean, we're just talking about how great it is that Vegas moved into second with their win last night. Arizona, without Taylor Hall, is in first place in the division.
That's what I'm saying. I think the Coyotes are looking at this right now, and they are saying, this is us taking our shot. We have seen what happens. We've seen a team in last place win the Stanley Cup. We have seen teams just get in and do some damage. We believe we have better goaltending than those teams. We believe that our defensive systems are just as good, if not better, than those teams. The only thing that we are missing is a scorer. We tried with Phil Kessel. It hasn't necessarily worked out. We're going to try with Taylor Hall. And if it doesn't work out, you know what? We're young enough and we're getting better. Our window is going to be for the next couple of years. This is Arizona shooting their shot.
All right. Well, if you'd like to see Arizona shoot their shot and Taylor Hall be in the lineup, what number can Chris go for answering the phones for our winner for the Arizona tickets on the 28th?
Well, Taylor Hall decided that when he became one half of the new Hall and Yotes, he would wear number 91. Clayton Keller really screwed this one up, right? So Taylor Hall will wear number 91. Chris Chapman, you've got to answer 91 more phone calls. Thereabouts.
Chris, can you go for that? Still loving that Hollow Notes? Yeah. Hey.
He can't.
Caller number 91. 702-876-1340. You're going to go check out Arizona on the 28th. Back to wrap it up next. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Welcome back. Wrapping it up. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, Las Vegas. Congratulations to Richard. He's going to be checking out the Arizona game on the 28th of this month.
Oh, for crying out loud. Hold on. It's hug time
with
Frank Harnish.
No, it's not.
I just had an idea. A wonderful, awful idea. It's from The Grinch, by the way.
Yes, I know.
Number 91.
I probably saw The Grinch before you were alive.
So. Number 91 may be our giveaway number in perpetuity simply because of Hall and Yotes. I like it. Yeah, you can, Chapman.
I can go for it if it makes one of you miserable anyway. Real quick, I want to throw this in. You're not a big fan of the shootout, right? You like the 3-on-3 overtime. It's fun, exciting, but not so much the shootout.
I'd be more okay with the shootout if games were all worth 3 points.
All right, well, how about this? Back on this date, December 16th, 2014, the longest shootout in NHL history happened. Mm-hmm. You know how long it was?
I want to say 13 rounds.
Oh, that isn't even close, my friend.
18 rounds.
20 rounds.
Yikes.
The Washington Capitals goaltender Braden Holtby was beat.
What? It was against the Rangers, right?
Yes.
Merrick Malik.
It was Bergstad.
Dang it.
Bergstad had the goal after Mr. Ovechkin was stopped.
Oh, Ovechkin.
The game was tied 5 times. The Capitals took the lead 5 different times, but each time they were tied up and then ended up losing it in the 20th round. The shootout alone took over 17 minutes. Oh. JT the Brick Show up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow from the Oyo Hotel Casino, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas.